Good afternoon. Call this meeting of the State Department Veterans Budget Division to order. It's a few minutes after four. Thank you all for being so prompt. We have a quorum and can start off at almost 4 o'clock. It's Monday, April 13th, 2015. Members, today we will continue our discussion of Senate File 888. The documents that will be our omnibus budget bill. You should all have copies of the A4, delete all amendment, and new spreadsheets before you. Members, I also included a copy of the letter from Senator Box sent to Representative Dowd stressing that we do not include new policy bills to our budget bill for your reference, that being the letter. I'd like to begin with Ms. James describing six items that were accidentally left out of our presentation last week. They were always in the amendment. We just missed them in the discussion. Then we have two changes to the spreadsheet that Mr. Lundeen needs to address. After that, I'd like to open the discussion to the members, take testimony from the testifiers who indicated they would like to speak, and then we can address any amendments the members might have. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Senator Metzen.
It's actually Senator Carlson.
Senator Carlson. Got it. Thank you. So now, with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Senator Carlson. And go down to the other end.
Bully.
Senator Saxon, you have Senate File 888.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Proceed. Members, we do have before us Senate File 888, the Omnibus State Department's and Veterans Budget Division. At this time, I would like to move the A4 amendment that we've already discussed.
Senator Saxon moves the A4 amendment. Everyone have that amendment?
Yes.
Any questions about the amendment? Seeing no questions, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. The amendment is adopted. Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If it pleases the chair, I would now like to open the conversation up to the members so we discuss the bill as amended. Then, Mr. Chair, I would hope that we can take testimony, work with any additional amendments, and if the committee desires, close the bill up and send it to full finance. With that, turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Senator Saxon. First thing, we're going to have Ms. James and describe
a few sections that
were missed. Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, in the walkthrough last week, I turned a couple of pages together in my summary, and that meant that I skipped a batch of sections that I just wanted to make sure everyone is aware is in the bill, although you've now had time to look at it, so maybe this won't be any news at all. Section 35, which begins on page 38, extends the Mississippi River Parkway Commission until June 30th of 2020. This was Senator Senjum's bill, Senate File 1984, and it was amended onto Senate File 888 in state and local government. Section 36 is a housekeeping, and this is on page also 38, starting at line 3, is a housekeeping provision that reflects a 2009 change to the way that the Office of Administrative Hearings is paid from the general fund rather than from a general account of the state elections campaign fund. This is for considering complaints relating to statewide ballot questions. And this section was in Senator Carlson's bill, Senate File 1450. Section 37, that begins on line 13 of page 38, modifies the existing Mighty Ducks program. This is Senator Metzen's bill, Senate File 2002. It makes three changes to the Mighty Ducks program. It specifies that the cap for the amount of a grant for an air quality project is $200,000. It sets a cap of $50,000 for a grant to replace R22 as the refrigerant in an indirect cooling system, and it sets a cap of $400,000 for a grant to replace R22 as a refrigerant in a direct cooling system. Sections 38 to 43 and Section 55 are from Senator Franzen's bill, Senate File 1476, and this was a proposal from the Secretary of State. Section 38 amends the filing fee for federal tax liens and other federal liens to eliminate a $15 fee for each additional name beyond two debtors, and that begins on page 40 at line 7. And then sections 39 through 41 are making some modifications to the filing and reporting requirements with the Secretary of State for foreign corporations and public benefit corporations. Section 42, which begins on page 41 at line 28, amends the effect of revocation and reinstatement by a public benefit corporation to add a reference to termination of status. Section 43, which begins on page 42 at line 7, provides that a corporation that has its public benefit status terminated or revoked or fails to file the change of name automatically expires 30 days after termination or revocation. Sections 44 through 54, so beginning on page 42 at line 13, Sections 44 through 54 from Senator Rust's bill, Senate File 802, which is a provision from the Board of Accountancy. These sections eliminate the use of an undefined term financial statements in certain instances, instead using the term, the defined term attest, modifies the definitions of attest, peer review, and report, permits the board to adopt rules relating to attesting, raises the maximum fine that the board may impose, permits an out-of-state firm to perform certain accounting activities, and precludes certain use of language on attest services without a license. It makes several changes of a housekeeping nature. Then Section 55 on page, beginning on page
48.
51. Beginning on page 51. Modifies the procedures governing inquiries regarding farm product liens and financing statements maintained by the Secretary of State. This is, again, part of Senator Franzen's bill, Senate File 1476. And finally, Section 56 amends, this is on page 51, beginning on line 23, it amends a 2013 law by making a housekeeping change to reflect the name change to Minute Services, and it extends the deadline for Minute to repay the cash flow assistance to the state from June 30th of 2015 to the end of the fiscal year 2015 closing period. That's it.
Thank you, Ms. James. Now we'll have Mr. Lundeen go over the changes on the spreadsheet. And
okay.
If you can, please refer to the line numbers and page numbers.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at the detailed tracking spreadsheet, and the first change is under the Senate. So if you move down to line 8 on the first page, the operating budget increase is now 3%. You will recall in the bill or in the spreadsheet that we had last week, it was 4%. So the 3% amounts are put in there, $739,000 in 16 and $1,343,000 in fiscal year 17. And that continues on into the tails for 18 and 19. And the second change is to the Department of Revenue, which is on page 9 of the spreadsheet. And if we go down to line 543, the maintenance and enhancement of Minnesota's tax system. As you'll recall, last week in the spreadsheet, we had $1.5 million a year in there, and that has now been changed to $2 million a year for a total of $4 million for the biennium. And that $2 million a year continues into the tails in fiscal year 18 and 19. And those, Mr. Chair, are the two changes to the spreadsheet from last Thursday.
Thank you, Mr. Lundeen.
And now I believe we'll have, we'll open up discussion to the members of the committee.
Any questions from the committee? Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a series of questions, either for the author or it may be counsel. And the questions I have are related to the Senate office building and that whole area. And at the end, I'll likely have an amendment, but I do want to ask some questions first. So, Senator Saxog, Mr. Chair, Senator Saxog, I'm not sure if you know this answer, but I'm assuming somebody here does. I see the lease payment that we have is $12.9 million for the biennium. What are we currently paying on our lease right now and as we have?
The lease in the state capitol.
Yeah, capitol and the first floor of the state office building.
I don't know the answer to that.
Senator Saxog, I think we have Mr. Lundeen has the answer.
I think I can attempt to answer that question, and you know, if the Department of Administration wants to also weigh in on it, they can. But my understanding of the total in lieu of rent appropriation, which is $16.316 million for the biennium, that in the fiscal year 12 and 13 biennium, the portion that was paying for the Senate space was slightly over $5 million, $5,018,000. And my understanding in the current biennium that we're in, we still have the same level of appropriation, the $16.3 million. It's estimated that the Senate costs out of that appropriation will be $4.688 million, so $4,688,000.
So, Mr. Chair, to counsel, are you saying then that it's not going to be more as we move into the Senate office building? That's why I was trying to get a feel for the difference between the two.
I mean, the way that it's structured in the bill now is we will get the money directly appropriated to the Senate and pay admin instead of in lieu of rent. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're probably right.
Okay.
Perhaps we can get admin to come to the table.
And Mr. Chair, along those lines, while they're coming, I have not seen a signed lease agreement, so I'm just wondering if there is a signed lease agreement so that we know these numbers are accurate. I would like to know if there has been one that's been executed.
Thank you, Mr. Mossman. Perhaps you could answer that question.
Chairman, Senator Gazelka, Matt Mossman, Commissioner of Administration, I don't have all of the numbers in front of me, unfortunately, to comment on Mr. Lundeen's numbers. Those sound accurate. I know that the $16.3 million is the biennial appropriation for in lieu of rent. There is a signed lease agreement between the Departments of Administration, Management, and Budget and with the Senate. So that, and I don't know that you have a copy of it. I believe that others have requested a copy, and that has been provided to some others. So that information is available, but it does, so that is all locked in place. And well, to your point, that actually is a substantial and important part of the commitment, the certificates of participation that are sold to fund the building. Obviously, the lease agreement, they're contingent on having an arrangement in place for the building to be leased and to be paid for.
So, Mr. Chair,
Senator Gazelka.
We've never seen that before, so I'm just curious when that lease was executed. I know that nobody on my side of the aisle was involved in that, so I'm just wondering when that took place.
Mr. Massman.
Mr. Chairman, I can try and get you the date exactly. I believe it's been probably a year or so since the lease has been effectuated. It would have been it certainly has been within the time frame of the construction to make sure that the certificates of participation could be financed.
Okay.
Mr. Mossman and Senator Gazelka, I believe we have an answer about that from Mr. Lundeen.
Yeah, the lease agreement was signed between admin and the Senate on August 18th of 2014.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Senator Gazelka.
To Senator Saxog, I have the State of Minnesota Certificate of Participation series, what they're showing for the amortization schedule for the bonds that we're paying, a yearly payment of $3.3 million. Why are we appropriating over $12 million this biennium and $16 million next when our amortization amount shows $3 million a year? So I'm just wondering why we have that much of a difference over that payment. And Mr. Chair, Senator Stocks, I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, I understand.
Because I know this is fairly technical, but I'm hoping somebody here can help us sort through that.
That's good reason. Ask the question.
Mr. Mossman, do you have an answer for that?
Mr. Chairman and members, I don't know if you have in front of you, but the governor's budget recommendation page for the financing for the legislative office building and the rental payments outlines and describes both the recommendation of the 3.957 and 7.344 million to fund anticipated rental payments for the building, and also to cover building operating costs.
Okay.
Those are the two components, are the debt service and the operating costs for the building.
And, Mr. Chair, I have one more technical
Senator
question. This is on page 7 of that report. It shows it says par amount. I'm assuming that's the, what we've been calling the cost of the building at $80.1 million. And this is on page 7 of that report. And then it has the 2013 appropriation, which is $3 million. So now we're up at $83 million. But then it has one other number called the net original issue premium, which is another $12 million. So that the total of all sources for the building is not $80 million, it's $95 million. But I'm wondering, what is that net original issue premium? That's the part I'm not sure what that is, other than to say that it's saying the cost of the building wasn't $80 million, it's $95.6 million. So can somebody explain what that number is for me? And part of the reason, Mr. Chair, part of the reason I asked the question is just this is not how we normally do buildings. We don't. These are not the numbers. It's a much more transparent process. It requires two-thirds. Of the vote in a bonding bill. So this is very, very different, and I don't know what that number is other than it's the way we decided we were going to fund it, so I'm trying to figure that out. It's probably Mets and Slush Fund.
No, I see. <yeah. laughs> I'm trying to figure out who has fee title to the building.
That can be your question.
Mr. Mossman, do you have any enlightenment on that?
Mr. Chairman and Senator, state bond staff may be able to answer with greater specificity, but I believe that, as you may recall, there's parking in this building also. That's user finance parking, and so I believe that some of the distinction could be between what is ultimately there will be some revenues that come into the state come into the general fund that offset part of the appropriation. So money needs to be appropriated to pay the debt service and the operating costs of the building to meet the state's commitments to the certificates of participation. And then there will also be a revenue stream that from the parking facility that offsets that portion of the debt service for the building.
Okay. And Mr. Chair and Senator Saxog, part of the reason I want clarification on that is when we went this route, we had investors that helped contribute, and there's a term, I don't know what the term is, but that we pay a little more because there's a risk that we would renege on the loan, which we did in 1980 and 1981. Those two with the zoo and St. Cloud State, I believe, were things that we didn't exactly do what we said we were going to do. And so that's why I wondered if that's what it was, if it was a greater cost of doing business because we did it this route or not, this way or not.
Mr. Mossman.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gazelka, I don't know the answer to that question. I would doubt that the difference in the interest rate is that substantial, but I could work with colleagues and other agencies and get that number for you.
Thank you. And I'd appreciate the committee knowing
Senator
that
Gazelka.
Information. Again, because we don't do things this way, my hope is we never, ever do things this way again. With that, I do want to offer the A8 amendment.
Senator Gazelka offers the A8 amendment. While we pass it out, would you like to explain what it does?
Mr. Chair, members, this is a very, very simple. It simply removes the state office building appropriations from this bill. My thought, and honestly, because this is all different than we ever do it, but we let out bonds to take care of this project, and I would like to see this in the bonding bill rather than here, and so this simply removes this from this bill with the assumption that it would be in a different place for funding. And, Mr. Chair, I would like a roll call on this amendment. Mr. Chair, okay. That's it deletes Section 2. Again, it's with the assumption that we would find another place for this to be paid. Mr. Chair and Senator Saxog, I recognize that we are trying to fix or solve this problem. I just I think it should be done differently.
Senator Saxog, first of all, I want to just make sure everyone understands Senator Gazelka offers the A8 amendment, and it's to delete Section 2, which is found on page 21. And the title of that section is Senate Building Appropriations Debt Service. Senator Saxog, any comments on that?
Yeah, I think that the decision was made in the writing of this bill. This is the way we were going to finance the building, and Senator Gazelka is suggested and put up an amendment that said that we do it in the bonding bill. I don't agree that that's the effective or the correct way to do it. So I would not be in support of this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Saxog. I need to be corrected here. Section 2 goes, it's the Subdivision 1 debt service, Subdivision 2 operations and maintenance. So it includes the operations and maintenance. And it goes from line 21.7 through line 21.30. Senator Stump, do you have a question?
21.31.
Chairman. 21.31, yes. Senator Saxog, did you have a question?
I do.
Matson.
No, Senator Matson, you have a question.
What, I'm just concerned about the certificates have already been sold, is that correct?
Yes.
Are the certificates the same as bondholders or quite similar? And we'd have to redo those and pay those certificate holders off and redo this in a bonding method? And what would be the penalty for us prepaying those certificates that people bought? I'm just afraid this will become Tangle Town. I just... concerned about that. Mr. Mass, do you have the same concerns or no?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, the certificates have already been sold. Obviously, the building is quite well underway in terms of its construction, and its timeline is scheduled to be completed by December of this year. So the financing is already in place, and there would be an expectation on the part of the certificate holders that the state
is obligated. Are obligated already to those certificates.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to be clear, we are down the path. The building is not. There's no intent to leave the building there unfinished as a monument to how we shouldn't do it. That's not my intent. We've made that decision. But I think part of what if you look on page one of that report. It says the certificates are not public debt of the state subject to constitutional limitations on indebtedness, and the full faith, credit, and taxing powers of the state are not pledged to the payment of the certificates. So we're not even backing those. That's why I wondered about the rates. Whether that extra money was because there was a higher risk. But, but I understand what Senator Metzen is saying, but that's that's why I'm bringing it forward.
Chairman, just to be clear, I agree with you the way it was handled in a tax committee. I didn't think it was the right way to do it. I think we ought to have accepted the fact this is a bonding issue. But here we are today. But I do agree with you how it was done. And that, but that I think that's water over the dam, and here we go. Here we are. So that's what I'm saying, Mr. Chairman. So.
Thank you. Senator Stump, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Grzelka, you mentioned that this would be appropriate in the bonding bill. Well, it may certainly be more appropriate in the bonding bill, except there's no assurance that we will have a bonding bill this year. And if this debt isn't paid, then what happens to the credit worthiness of the state? And furthermore, I think it was the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee that waged a lawsuit against the original project. So that might even encourage them to see what would happen if we would not follow through on this. And so I'm a little skeptical that about trying to rearrange how this is all going to get paid for. I mean, obviously, there's anything can happen right up until the end of the session. So I'm hoping that we will have a bonding bill. But I just don't know if this is if your amendment throws doubt into everything, or whether it. I thought maybe your amendment would be, you know, prospective versus retrospective.
Mm-hmm. I would be in favor of that as a future policy change.
Any further discussion? Senator Grzelka has offered the A8 amendment. A roll call has been requested.
I think we're too far into it now.
The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Saxhog.
No.
Senator Anderson.
Yes.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Senator Chamberlain. Senator Claussen.
No.
Senator Cohen.
No.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Grzelka.
Yes.
Senator Metzen.
No.
Senator Stumpf.
No.
Senator Torres Ray.
No.
The tally being 3 in favor, 7 against, the motion is not adopted. Senator Grzelka.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And if we could get that data as to what that particular item was that I asked for, I greatly appreciate that.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Grzelka, the Department of Administration has nodded that they will get you that.
Thank you.
Get the committee, members of the committee, that information.
Thank you.
Senator Grzelka, could you read the title of the report that you had, and maybe perhaps even share that with us? We could make some copies of it.
It's right on the title. It's the State of Minnesota Certificates of Participation Series 2014 Legislative Office Facility Project. It's referring to the Senate Building Project. There may be a more technical name to it, but that's – and I'm happy to leave this to be copied. That would be fine. As long as they get a copy back.
Thank you. Any other discussion from the committee? Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't know who we'd get this information from, but – I don't know if this was included in Senator Grzelka's request, but I would like to see how the money is being spent that we're spending in this bill for payment of the office building. I'd like to see how that's being broke down as to where that money is going specifically. And then the other question I have is, who actually owns this building?
I think I said that. Fee ownership, yeah.
But who owns it?
I don't. That's a good question.
Mr. Mossman, is that something that you can... answer. Who has title to the
building? Mr. Chair and members, Senator Dams, the state of Minnesota owns the building.
Thank you.
Senator Stumpf, you have a question.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Mossman, I think I know the answer, but how, do Do we have other buildings that we built with the same type of funding?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Senator Stump, I don't know with certainty whether or not that's the case or not. I would have to check. Most of the funding mechanisms are administered by MMB, and I could check. That's right. Human Services and the Department of Ag Building were also lease purchased. That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Senator Cohen, did you have a question?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, I just said, but in turn, so I thought revenue had been a lease purchase, but I knew it was a couple of the newer buildings, so appreciate the help on that. And also in terms of the revenue bonds, I think what was the ownership of and the financing of the University of Minnesota's TCF Stadium?
Mr. Mosman.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, those were appropriation bonds, is my recollection, that the state appropriated money to the university, and I believe the university may have used their own bond financing authority to issue bonds in that case, but I'm not certain. I believe they were appropriations on behalf of the state to the university.
Because, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, I thought that was similar to what we're doing with this building. This is not unique.
Similar in the sense that they're contingent on state appropriations, yes, and not. I don't believe they were backed by the general property tax authority of the state.
And Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, and with apologies for just getting into kind of the middle of this, but obviously that I'm sure Senator Stump raised the concern relative to Senator Kozelka's effort to kind of convert this to the bonding process. At this stage of the game, we get into some problems with the rating agencies, I assume, potentially.
Now, Mr. Chairman, as Commissioner of Administration, I'm going to draw the line on the state's bonding.
Mr. Chairman.
The state is always concerned about that, of course.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner.
Senator Cohen.
When you work in the state Senate, you could have answered that question.
I still might be able to answer the question, but I'll defer to Commissioner Franz on that.
Commissioner Franz.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Mossman is doing quite well. I don't know why I came up here. But it is true.
Please
that
Please identify yourself for the tape.
Myron Franz, Commissioner of MMB. It is true that the rating agencies, and one of the reasons we set up the new debt guidelines that we have is in part a recognition of the rating agencies do in fact look over our shoulders all the time, and to not go through with the certificates that we've already issued with respect to the Senate's office building would cause some serious concerns and problems. And one of the reasons we want to make sure that the bonding bill that Senator Stump and others may or may not pass this year, we always want to make sure they're within the guidelines and that we always pay off the obligation, whether they're a general obligation bond or an appropriation bond to the university. Paying those off on time or before is critically important to the state of Minnesota's bond rating agency or rating capacity.
Senator Kozelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. All the buildings we have just been discussing Senator Cohen was talking about this not being unique. Every one of them, I believe, unless I'm corrected to be wrong, were all in bonding bills. And that's why I'm saying this was unique and we shouldn't do it this way. And I would, going forward would be a good idea, not right now, I recognize, but I certainly would support that we make a decision that we don't do that in the future.
Senator Cohen. Just a quick response to Senator Kozelka. I don't believe the TCF Stadium, it wasn't called that at the time, was in a bonding bill. I don't believe. Was it? Senator Stumpf? You weren't chairman then, but
just say yes, so it was.
Senator Stumpf.
Mr. Chairman, I honestly don't know, but I don't think it was.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. And
Senator Cohen.
I believe it was in the higher education bill.
We didn't want to do that either.
Yes, Senator Cohen, I'm advised that it was in a standalone bill.
All right.
Thank you.
If that's the advice
from counsel,
Counselor Mr. Lundeen, I'll defer to that certainly. But that suggests it wasn't in the bonding bill.
Any further questions for the discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Okay. We have four
Mr.
testifiers.
Excuse me. Senator Deems, I believe.
Senator Deems.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have the 8-6 amendment, or did you want to hold off on amendments?
No, we'll
sir?
Do them all. Do
I
them
think
them.
We should do them.
Let's do them.
I have the 8-6 amendment.
Senator Deems offers the A6 amendment.
What
Senator
that
Deems.
Does, Mr. Chair, is when we had the Historical Society here, and they were asking for some funding to enhance education achievement through the history and education, and I had some concern about where that money would be spent. And so what this amendment does is on line 1310, page 13, after education, it inserts to be delivered statewide in conjunction with historic sites. So this is just a little bit of language that gets it spread out through the state.
Senator Sexton,
Mr. Chair, I concur and support this amendment. I've had discussions with the Historical Society, and they understand that this is our intent too.
Chairman.
Senator
Matson.
Yeah,
I've had some discussion about it too, and I think that's the fair way to go. And I mean, every region of the state is affected by this this legislation, so they all should be treated equally. And quite frankly, I compare it to the so-called Mighty Ducks bill, where that money is appropriated congressionally to 8 districts, and there's no favoritism at all. So that's the right way to do it.
Any further questions or discussion on the A6 amendment? Senator Deems offers the A6 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any other discussion or amendments? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe someone can answer this question, but I'm just wondering, because at the early part of this session, there was a message delivered by the governor that he was going to increase all the commissioners' salaries by a certain amount, and I'm, you know, and some got huge amounts, some got gigantic amounts, and things like that. I'm wondering, with this new increase that we're proposing here in this state government bill of 1.8%, and it's on many, 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 many different lines, how much does that total up to as far as the amount that is going to be given to state agencies from the governor on down to all the other bureaucratic agencies? Can someone give me an idea of what that might be?
Mr. Lundin will see if he can take a crack at that.
I think the 1.8 comes in, I don't have the exact number with me right now, but it's around $8 million and probably a little bit higher if I include, if you recall, for the Department of Veterans Affairs, for Veterans Homes, the governor did put a larger increase in there of 5%, and I guess even larger than that, there came in a supplemental request today. But if you exclude that out, I would say it's around $8 million for the 1.8%.
Senator Gazelle.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Lundin, $8 million total for all of the agencies?
That would be the agencies under this jurisdiction. Okay. It wouldn't include agencies not in this jurisdiction.
All right, thank you.
Senator Cohen.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, the amount's certainly larger. I want to say it's around, don't hold me to this, I already gave a partially incorrect answer to Senator Gazelka, but I want to say about $25 million. But it's not in this division, but the big difference is corrections. And the issue with the guards at all the prison facilities, that's a 3-3. But that's the only place where you go to a higher amount other in terms of the state agencies than the 1.8.
But as far as, Madam
Mr. Chair,
as far as this bill goes, we're just talking $8 million. Is that what you're looking at? Well, I would like to say that $8 million could be best used if the governor's going to go ahead with this, as we've been told that at the end of June 30th, July 1st, that he's probably going to go ahead with his increases in salary adjustments for these different commissioners, and I would like to make an amendment to the bill to delete all of the 1.8% increases in the bill according to the lines, and I have the lines designated here. Line 34, line 50, line 72, line 117, line 197, line 229, line 250, line 280, line 286, 299, line 307, line 319, line 329, line 334, line 348, line 356, line 361, line 435, line 471, line 542, line 611, line 622, line 631, line 640, line 648, line 660, line 707, line 733, line 707, line 743, line 754, line 764, and line 766. And I think that that would go to help the governor in making his increases, because I don't think after we're out of session we're going to be able to stop the governor from going ahead with his increase in salaries. And so I'd like to make that an amendment to delete those 1% operating increases on those lines and ask for a roll call.
Senator Anderson, we're trying to discuss how this actually would work, because this is a modification to the spreadsheet and not the actual bill, because we have not put in the numbers in the bill yet.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
You know, I don't think this is a very good idea. We, the state employees, I think for about at least 4 years during the recession, helped the state get out of the recession by not taking a pay increase. And I think that was about 4 years in a row. And it just seems to me that they did their part, 38,000 employees or whatever it is, and that's the bills I've carried for their pay, the last pay increase, and they hadn't had one in years. Or I'm going to say four. I'm quite sure I'm right there. And I don't think this is a big number not to consider the 1.8 for next year. I really feel strongly about that. That's not the end of the world. I always believe that you got to pay employees to keep good employees on, so that I will be not obviously not supporting your deduction of the 1.8.
Okay. Mr. Chair, to that point. So, Mr. Metzen, Senator Metzen, how many FTEs are we adding to this bill? And I know, Mr. Senator Metzen, you're always after those new FTEs.
Probably too many.
Okay. That would probably help take care of maybe those FTEs.
We're not talking about that, Mr. Chair, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the 1.8.
I understand.
Senator Gazelka, you had
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, some clarification. I think all of us want to make sure that the workforce we have in the public sector is paid well, that their retirement package is well. What we don't count as raises, that I think is important, maybe more for the public to know than us, is that they get steps and lanes that on average was 2.7 to 4% every year through the Great Recession, which we, you know, so when we gave the I believe 3% raise and then 2% raise, that was above those numbers for many. And so we're trying to find that, you know, that balance. But I did have a particular question for Senator Anderson, Mr. Chair, because I couldn't follow all those numbers fast enough. But did you include in that military affairs or veterans affairs? Those are two that I hope we leave out of that, and I will support it if I just need to clarify that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Gazelka, those two were kept out of the line items.
Senator Saxon, did you have a question?
I just have my comment, and I guess it won't be the end. First of all, we have no idea what the governor's going to do when end of June, July comes. And lastly, this is a vote on the 1.8% increase. So that's basically what this gets down to.
Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could just inquire from Senator Anderson why you eliminated military affairs and veterans affairs.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Well, for all the reasons that we see in veterans coming back from overseas and the fact that these vets have given and have stepped up to give the ultimate sacrifice, I feel that those individuals who represent that area need to be compensated for that.
And Mr. Chairman, just relative to that, I think you're absolutely correct when you talk about what folks have done in serving overseas in particular, something that I have not done, and that in these days in this country, most people in elective office have not done. Now, Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, if I'm not mistaken, you're a veteran. You're one of the last veterans left in the Minnesota State Legislature. And if you go back to an earlier generation, you would have had everybody, at least any male legislator, having served Armed Services. So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, you're unique and should be applauded in the context of the rest of us. I think it's, I don't want to go through the list. I think Senator Hahn, yourself, I mean, it's just a handful of people. But if you look at, say, the Department of Veterans Affairs and the great work they do for the veterans and the social services they provide, I would suggest that it's not indistinguishable. They're serving a different population, certainly, and they're serving people who've come back, whether it be with physical concerns, mental health concerns, whatever it might be. But you can find many people like that in the Department of Human Services serving a population that has some of the same kinds of problems. And so I don't in any way disagree with what you're suggesting about military affairs and veterans affairs. You know, maybe we should treat them as we treat the Department of Corrections, arguably, and segregate them in that fashion. But I think, as Senator Metzen indicated, that we've placed impositions on the public sector. And what I find, Mr. Chairman, a little bit disquieting is some of that was not taking place at a local level. And it depends on what local level. But the folks who really sustained the difficulties in the decade, not just simply the 4 years, Sarah Metzen, but going back to our original significant deficit in 2002, were the state public sector employees. That in many instances, the local sectors, the school districts, the cities, the counties, were a little bit better in that regard than the state. So even though Senator Kozelka is correct in terms of the steps and lanes, that has existed in many parts of public sector service. The other thing I'd comment, I don't mean to get into a long detail of national economics, but one of the reasons the national economy has not quite come back to where it would, you know, if you take a look at the various employment sectors, healthcare is way ahead of where things were, and they're back to a pre 2008, and that's true of many sectors. What's not true is of the public sector. So when you talk about the FTEs and so on, that's actually been a little bit of a drag on the national economy. A little bit less so in Minnesota, but some of the national economy has been a bit of a drag. That's just kind of an aside, but I would suggest that there are some distinct reasons as to why we ought to provide not a 5% increase, not a 10% increase. And I will tell you, Mr. Chairman, that, and Senator Sagsaug, as you know, there were requests for a higher figure. You know, what we opted to do was to put in the governor's figure and not put in that higher figure as requested, try to keep it to a reasonable working figure.
Chairman. Senator Sagsaug, you had a question or
yes,
comment?
Well, I have a final comment because I'm ready to vote on the raise. But if we take the line of thinking, though, that Senator Anderson is. We have 38,000 members, or 38,000 employees that are in line for this 1.8%. Right. How many of them are veterans?
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
You know, there's other public employees, Mr. Chairman, and sorry about that, and Senator Saxog, that every day they're in harm's way. Cops, firefighters, guards at the women's prison, the men's prisons, and even nurses. So I just don't think it's right to single out. And we're all at this table are for our veterans. There's make no mistake about that. However, the other groups, first of all, everybody deserves a little something. But you talk about harm's way, you get cops, firefighters, and other public employees that we pay that you're not including, Senator.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just kind of on what Senator Metzen just mentioned. Unless you would offer an amendment on the floor and take out all of the pay raise increases, I think we'd have a very tough time with our public employees, you know, with this group not getting any pay increases and the rest of them getting a pay increase. So I just
Senator Torres Ray has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question for Senator Anderson. I'm just curious about, I think, in relationship to what Senator Cohen said. Senator Anderson, so is the 1.8, in your opinion, too high, or is it different? Because my understanding is that we look at these numbers with respect to inflation, and that's contemplated in here. I just want to hear your opinion as to is your opinion that the 1.8 is too much, or is it comparable to the inflation rate that we need to do? I just want to hear your kind of the reason for why 1.8, you do not believe that this increase should take place at that level. Is it a lower number that you're looking for? Is it no number, or is it the inflation number?
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Torres-Ray, I think what kind of throws everything into a tizzy is right at the beginning of session is that when the governor comes out and he's going to raise all his commissioners and give them huge salary increases, and then we put into a place a situation where he has a window of opportunity from June 30th to July 1st, that 24-hour period, in which he can either yay or nay. And my guess is that he's got nothing to lose but to say yay and go forward with his raises that he suggested back in January or February, whenever it was. And so I see this as an automatic ongoing, if we put a 1.8% increase in here now, and already mentioned was 3% over in judiciary and or into
corrections.
It's an automatic growth of government, and it seems like we don't get away from that. And I understand we did have a freeze for a while where we had 2 to 4 years of where we didn't give raises. But when I talk to my people in my area around there, they're not getting a 0.5% wage increase. They're lucky to have a job. There's people that are looking for jobs. So I just see this as a growth of government, and I think if it wouldn't have been for the governor coming out and making his statements at the beginning of session or whenever February or so, that just this kind of throws it into another increase for 40,000 employees across the state.
Mr. Chairman, if I may have a follow-up.
Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you. My understanding, Senator Cohen, is that the rate of inflation is at 3.0, so that this actually doesn't even take care of that. So when we talk about growth of government at 1.8, we're not even keeping rate of inflation. That's kind of my understanding is that at least 3.0 takes care of inflation. Below that, we're cutting. We're not growing. Am I understanding that incorrectly? Or
Senator Cohen.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Torres-Ray, not exactly, but I where I'd make your argument is, rate of inflation is more like 1.5 to 2%. So I think what the governor intended to do was to match this with inflation. However, where you compare this figure to what we've done over the last number of years, where you also had a relatively low inflationary rate rise of 1%, 1.5%. In fact, at some point there was talk about it, almost a deflationary economy, which raises other problems. There's no question inflation has not been significant in the last several years. But what we've done with the state workforce is they've gotten nothing. Now, Senator Gazelka has talked about steps and lanes, but the state workforce has gotten nothing by way of pay raises. So if you compare this 1.8 to inflation over the last several years, as opposed to this past year or where it is presently, this is still significantly under what that inflationary increase has been. So there's no question, even with this, state workers are not in any way keeping up with a very limited inflation in the last X number of years.
Senator Gazelka, last
thank
question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we're going to have to vote.
Yep, yeah, to both of those points, steps and lanes is a nice way of saying a pay raise. I mean, in the private sector, there is no steps and lanes. That's so when we gave 2.7 to 4%, depending on the category, every year, but I think one through many of the last years. So take that high number, 4%, and then we gave them a 3% bump and then a 2% bump. In the last 2 years, they would have gotten 7.7 to 9% overall increase if they were getting steps, which is over half of the employees. So to say that they're not receiving benefits is not true. We had an amendment, you know, that we said, fine, let's just give that raise to everybody that's not getting steps so that you have a true number. But, you know, many of the folks, even in the worst of times, were getting bumps that we would call raises in the private sector, but somehow they're not raises in the public sector. But Senator Anderson brought up that his main focus, and I would agree with this, is that the governor has promised very large raises to the commissioners, very, very large. And we're saying that's not appropriate. Senator Saxog, you said that we don't know what he's going to do, but he's pretty true to his word. I mean, I appreciate that about the governor. In fact, so much so, if it's not illegal, we should have a bet that if the pay raises go up, you buy me steak in Brainerd, and if not, I'll buy you steak in
walleye.
Walleye in Brainerd.
Walleye is good too. But anyway, so trying to make my point that there is dollars that have been coming forth.
Chairman, it seems to me there's been ample discussion on this, and I don't think any minds are going to be changed, in my opinion, and I think we ought to vote.
Well, we have to do. We have to do it in two stages because we have not adopted the spreadsheet. We either have to adopt the spreadsheet as is and then amend it, or we make sure that we understand the amendment and adopt the spreadsheet, or put up a motion to adopt the spreadsheet as amended. And we take the risk that we don't pass that adoption, and then we have to bring the spreadsheet up again. So I think you have the motion on the table. That is an amended. You're offering an amendment to the spreadsheet.
Correct.
Prior to it being adopted.
Right.
Mr. Chair and members, so the motion that Senator Anderson has made, as I understand it, is to adopt the spreadsheet as amended with his changes.
Everyone understand that? So, motion is essentially to accept Senator Anderson's motion. I think we had a roll call requested. So will the clerk take the roll, please?
Senator Saxog.
No.
Senator Anderson.
Yes.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Senator Chamberlain. Senator Claussen.
No.
Senator Cohen.
No.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Gazelka.
Yes.
Senator Metzen.
No.
Senator Stumpf.
No.
Senator Torres-Ray.
No.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, I guess a roll call before.
The count being 3 yes and 7 no, the motion is not adopted. I would entertain a motion to adopt the spreadsheet. Senator Saxog.
I'd be happy to do that.
Senator Saxog moves the 2015 Detail Tracking Senate State Departments and Veterans Budget Spreadsheet. Any questions on the motion?
Yes,
all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. No. Motion is adopted.
Are we, Chairman, are we taking some other motions now, or are we going to? I've got a small.
Yes, we are. We are open to other amendments.
Yes. Chairman, I have the A5 amendment, clarification amendment. It deals with the accommodation reimbursement area. That's where the agencies can take a harder look at in the areas of F and Clyde and other areas of the, and I would have the Stephanie, would you please kind of
Senator Metzen offers the A5 amendment.
And Beth is here from the, are you, did you want to explain it or do you want, whatever.
Council says that Ms. Fraser would like to explain it. Please name.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Identify yourself.
Beth Fraser with the Commission of Deaf, Blind, and Hard of Hearing Minnesotans. And this is a simple amendment that adds a definition of the term reasonable accommodations eligible for reimbursement. And so it narrows the scope of accommodations that can be reimbursed from this fund to ensure that the fund is used to pay for the type of expenses that would be most likely to impact an agency's budget and potentially their hiring decisions. So to make sure that every tiny little expense isn't submitted for reimbursement, but that larger expenses are. So on 1.6, it allows for reimbursements for any expense for an applicant for a job, since these could not be anticipated by the agency. On 1.7 and 1.8, number 2, it allows reimbursements for expenses of an ongoing nature for agency employees, such as sign language interpreters or service support providers, since these are expenses that would need to be incurred periodically and could add up over time. On 1.9 and 1.10, it allows reimbursement for one-time expenses of more than $1,000 per fiscal year per employee. Agencies should be able to absorb smaller expenses, but $1,000 seemed like a reasonable amount that over that amount they could be reimbursed. So it's just trying to focus the fund, make sure that it does the most to help promote employment of workers with disabilities. 111 and 112 simply incorporate this newly defined term into the bill text. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on the A5 amendment? Senator Saxog, do you have a position on this amendment?
Only that I'd move it, Mr. Chair.
Senator Saxog moves the A5 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion is adopted.
Thank you.
Any other amendments or discussion? Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A9 amendment, and that would be an amendment to the tracking sheet.
Senator Dames, would you like to explain the A9 amendment?
Yes, the A9 amendment deletes the increased fees that we see with the Racing Commission on line 600 of the tracking sheet, the Board of Cosmetology on 765, Department of Revenue, the cigarette increases and the stop cigarette smuggling on line 1017, again the Board of Cosmetology on line 1020, and on line 1021, and the Racing Commission on line 1028. Some of these fees have been increased quite healthily. When we take a look at some of the tobacco fees that have been increased, get my sheet here, we're looking at some of those fees going from 90 to 150, some going from 130 to 250, We're also looking at some of the fees, and I don't have that right in front of me, but there are several fees that are being increased considerably. This total fee increase is about $3.4 million, and I'm just not so sure that that's in the best interest of government right now, raising fees like that, so that's why I bring this amendment forward.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, just procedurally, where we have another effort to amend the spreadsheet, which we haven't adopted, would it be a little bit easier? Council's kind of nodding her head. I would ask Senator Saxog if it might be a little bit easier. Senator Davis might consider withdrawing his amendment. We could move adoption of the spreadsheet, and then it would be a little bit cleaner for the committee and
Senator
for staff.
Senator Cohen, we did adopt the spreadsheet.
Okay, but do we adopt the spreadsheet?
Yes.
With,
yeah.
Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Forget as everything I said.
You're fired.
Mr. Chairman, usually I'm a little bit further ahead, but sometimes.
All right.
Been a long day.
Get over it.
There you go. Hard. Long weekend.
Mr. Chair.
Members, Council says that we need to understand the amendment, that the amendment modifies the bill, and we need to make the reflective changes on the spreadsheet.
So you were half right.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, for the record, Senator Kozelka points out I was half right.
You're half right, yes. And Senator Deems, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Some of the other fee increases, we raise fees from $300 to $500 to apply for a distributor cigarette license, from $24 to $100 for a sub-jobber, from $75 to $500 on the distributor's license, and from $20 to $100 on tobacco jobber's license. We hit that area pretty hard.
Any other comments from the members?
One brief one.
Senator Gazalka.
Yeah, one of the fees he talked about in there for me was related to cosmetology. They were quite a bit up, and it was also what they wanted to use the fees for that I was concerned about, that they wanted to actually inspect every shop every year, which to me is too much. And, so I rise to support this amendment.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I call for a roll call vote.
So, Senator,
Senator Saxon.
Again, this is a little bit like the increases in compensation. I believe we're at a time when these increases need to be made.
Any further discussion? Senator Deems has called for the A9 amendment.
The motion should just include that. So the motion is to amend the bill.
Yes, Senator Deems moves the A9 amendment, which amends the bill as well as the spreadsheet. It reflects the changes in the spreadsheet, and a roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Saxog.
No.
Senator Anderson.
Yes.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Senator Chamberlain. Senator Clausen.
No.
Senator Cohen.
No.
Senator Deems.
Yes.
Senator Gazelka.
Yes.
Senator Metzen.
No.
Senator Stumpf.
Yes.
Senator Torres Ray.
No.
There being 4 yes and 6 no votes, the motion does not prevail. Any other amendments or discussion? Senator Saxon.
Mr. Chair, I have the A7 amendment. It deals with the numbering of capital room numbers.
Senator Saxon, would you like to explain the A7 amendment while it's being passed?
Well, I'd like to have somebody explain it. Yeah.
Mr. Chair and members, This is a replacement for the section in the bill already. It's the provision that requires the Department of Administration to number the rooms in the Capitol after renovation the same way they are before renovation for the rooms that are of the same dimension and location as current rooms, so some of the more major rooms, like room 15, for example. And this language does the same thing as what's currently in the A4 amendment already adopted. It cleans up the language and makes it a little more readable.
Any discussion on the amendment? Senator Gazelka.
Just briefly, Mr. Chair, Senator Sachs, was there a bill for this earlier? I like the bill. I'm just curious whose idea it was because I really like it.
Redoing the numbers?
Keeping the numbers traditionally the same. I think that's a great idea.
Well, I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. I'll give you the credit then, Mr. Chair. It was a good idea.
Thank you. Senator Gazelka.
Because I'll get the credit for the 1.8% increase.
Or the blame.
Senator Saxog offers the A7 amendment. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion is adopted. Any other amendments? Any other amendments?
If not, we'd like to bring it to the
So, Mr. Chair, we do have some testifiers.
Let's bring up the testifiers. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
I thought you have the order. You know, when you get the sale, you kind of move on. But go ahead if you want to bring people up.
I've had four people request to testify.
Anybody else agree with that?
Well, thank you, Senator Metzen.
Senator Sachs,
bring them all up.
Senator Metzen, we've had people request.
We do have a limited time.
Okay. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you bring the testifier, Senator Sachs, I just wanted to leave a comment on the record. I attended a meeting in the House about language that was proposed for the ethnic councils. As you know, I have been working on this issue. It is my understanding that I wanted to let the members know the House and the Senate have been working on it very diligently to work on language to propose to change the governance structure of the ethnic councils. The House had a proposal that was controversial, and the Senate has a proposal that is controversial. Some people like parts of each, but we run out of time in the policy committees to come to consensus with the communities. It is my opinion that both bills offer some very interesting opportunities for us to engage with communities of color to really change this concept that is almost 35 years old. But because we run out of time, the policy chairs kind of left this with the understanding that we will work on it during the interim to come with a recommendation next year. At that meeting in the House, I was given the impression by the members that they wish to attach the policy to the finance bill in the House. And I just wanted to let members know that it will be my preference that we don't do that. And I talked to the chair, and I said that it would be my preference that we don't put my language into your bill. And I want you to know that I agreed to do that and that I agreed to work on that language during the interim. So I want to leave that on the record to make sure that you know that we will be working on it, that I have intentionally left that language out of the process for the Senate. Although the Senate has a position, my language did pass in the policy committee, and the language of the House did not. So the Senate has a position on a bill, but it is not in this bill, and I don't want to amend this bill because the chair was very clear that we want to move, you know, the bill as it is, and I think the majority leader also has expressed that we want to work on finance bills without all of these policy ideas. So I just wanted to make sure that we leave that on the record, and I will continue to work on this issue. You have my commitment to work on it during the interim.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you, Senator
Torres-Rea.
Torres-Rea.
And I believe we can continue with requested testifiers.
Commissioner Myron France has requested.
Commissioner, please restate your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
Byron Franz, Commissioner of Minnesota Management and Budget. Mr. Chair, thank you. I wanted to just bring the attention to the letter that we sent earlier today to the various committees and the leaders of the Senate and the House. We were able to make some changes, or needed to make some changes, in the governor's proposed budget in order to make sure that some changes were incorporated. And I know it's at a late date in the process, but I think one of the things we wanted to make sure was that there was some money that wasn't going to be needed to be spent, and we wanted to make sure that was available. But we also needed to make some proposed changes to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Administration. So the I don't know if the members have a copy of the April 13th letter in front of them. We'll make sure that the members get a copy of that. I'll go through this fairly quickly. There are six changes. The Office of Higher Education would be reduced in terms of the original budget allocation, would be reduced by $5.2 million this biennium as a recommendation that we no longer need the funding for tuition reciprocity that we thought we did. In the capital projects area, the bonding bill is a little bit smaller. It's $842 million rather than $850 million, and therefore it's a little bit smaller than we anticipated, saving about $2.526 million in this biennium. I'm sorry, $2.523 million. In the Office of Veterans Affairs, we've proposed a change item that we can, the people here from the Department of Veterans Affairs can testify if necessary. We've increased that change item by $10.797 million for this biennium. The Department of Agriculture and the Board of Animal Health are both increasing some additional monies for the avian flu, the spread of the avian flu, the H5N2 virus, and the Department of Revenue has a very small correction to the gasoline equivalent tax fix item. So those are items we just wanted to bring to the committee's attention. We apologize for the lateness of that presentation, but I'm happy to answer any questions and make sure that the committee gets a copy of that letter.
Commissioner, I have one question. You said that the Veterans Affairs is changed by $10.797 million. Is that an up or a down number?
That would be an up, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Thank you, Commissioner.
Next, we have Commissioner Matt Mossman.
Thank you, Mr. Mossman.
Mr. Chairman and members, thank you, Senator Saxhog. I think probably most of my commentary was covered earlier through questions, and so I would just say that I appreciate all that the Senate has done to fund the department, the governor's recommendations, and be happy to answer any questions. But we'll continue working with the chair and the committee as the process goes forward on any concerns we have.
Thank you, Mr. Mossman.
Next, State Auditor Rebecca Otto.
Please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
Rebecca Otto, State Auditor. I apologize for coming to the table, but I wanted to do it because I think it's a responsible thing to do. Since I came in front of the committee and testified about my budget and presented some change items to you, there's a change item that didn't get any funding. It was a one-time appropriation for an infrastructure stress report that I was going to build. And I appreciate what's in the budget right now for our office, but I wanted to make sure you understand an opportunity that the state may miss out on. Since I presented to you, some things have happened that have changed everything. February 28th, I was invited to a colloquium at the U with a bunch of infrastructure experts, private sector, nonprofit, government, university researchers. And on March 30th, I completed an application to try to get a grant to pull off this project, which is basically to create a one-stop shop, a visual presentation of all infrastructure throughout our state, throughout our communities, public infrastructure, wastewater, drinking water, roads, bridges, energy, all the things that make our communities work and protect public safety and public health. We don't have a one-stop shop right now of any of it. We have government reports with lots of data that are a little bit frustrating to use. The reason I'm coming to you today is because I've applied for, I've got a team of people that is extraordinarily impressive, including the League of Minnesota Cities. There's a rep from their team. If I can get this grant, the U is going to allow me to use their some of their technology infrastructure to collect data out of different state agencies. They'll clean that data, format it, and we will build a map on my website. And I have a foundation on my team, too. I've gotten an indication that if the state doesn't put something in, that foundations might not put money in either because they kind of feel like the state should pay for something. Now, to be fair, Senator Sachshag, I found out today that there's a mapping license that we need, and we had one, but it was very old, and we finally found out today what the cost will be to make sure that we have the software needed to pull off this map because it's what the U uses. So, and what I need, I'd asked for 150, and I'm back asking for 35,000 is what we need. But I can leverage nonprofit, private sector, all kinds of people are involved in this project, engineers that would help to make this project happen. There's a lot of energy behind it, but I understand that you have done a lot of work to get to this point. So I'm not trying to throw a wrench, but I wanted you to know about an opportunity that's here that we would never be able to afford otherwise, I think, so with government resources.
Thank you, Ms. Otto. Senator Stumpf, you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, it's a statement. I remember that committee meeting when you talked about it, and I was impressed with the potential of the collection of data, and I think it would be useful because I think as we move forward in the legislative process, I think we have to be much more collaborative across many different divisions and local and units of government. So I'd be in favor of moving that or trying to find it anyway. You said 35,000? Or was it
335,000?
35,000.
Yeah, Senator, 35,000. Senator
Torres-Ray. Mr. Chairman, I absolutely believe that we should find 35,000 to do this model. I think this is a very important thing. We need to be able to collect this information. And I know, Mr. Chair, that your target was very small, and we all are talking about, you know, every chair is complaining, saying, you know, we need all of these projects. So I hope, Ms. Otto, that you do not believe this is the end. There are some people who have requests for $10 million, and they don't believe that we have ended the process. They said until we go home, nothing is really finished. But I hope, Mr. Chair, that we are able to figure out with our chair from the Finance Committee, who also serves in this committee, that we are able to do this, because I also believe that it's a very important project.
Senator Metzen, did you have a comment?
Oh, I think we should do this. Even though I said we should wrap it up about 20 minutes ago. This leverages a lot of additional dollars from the foundation and other sources. So it's the right thing to do.
Senator Sachsack, this is your bill, your bottom line.
Yeah, I haven't heard a motion yet.
So. I'll, Leroy, why don't you do that?
What's on the bottom?
Senate Council will write the motion.
Mr. Chair and members, the motion would be on page 3, after line 17 of the A4 amendment. Insert $35,000 from the general fund is for an infrastructure stress study. This is a one-time appropriation and may be used in either year of the biennium.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
Senator McCorn.
Well, it looks like, and it depends what Senator Sachshag would like to do with this, but it looks like there's the ability that maybe Mr. Lundin can confirm that.
Mr. Lundin.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Senator Cohen, there is a little bit of money on the bottom line, $183,000. So if we took $35,000 for this initiative, we would be able to do it and still come in below our target.
All right.
Senator Deems, did you have a question before?
It was answered. Thank you.
Any other question? Senator Stump.
I'd make that motion.
Senator Stump moves to adopt an oral amendment to add a $35,000 expenditure. Any questions on the motion? Senator Anderson?
Would the name of that, is it a study or is it actually a fund or what is the infrastructure?
For a stress study. Is that correct?
Go ahead. Okay, sorry, I'm waiting to be recognized. That's why I'm not talking.
Sorry, Ms. Otto.
Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, you know, I called it an infrastructure stress study. What I am envisioning is a living map, and it's a tool. It's going to be on my grant. I called it a Minnesota Smart City Infrastructure Stress Transparency Tool. We can call it whatever you would like, but it's a very specific project that I'll do under my special studies authority, but it's going to be hopefully a living, breathing map of our infrastructure, and the visual is going to be extraordinarily powerful. There isn't anybody who said this isn't a great idea. People are trying to get this done nationally. Nobody can figure out how to do it. We can do this in Minnesota, and we can lead the nation in really getting a handle on what's sitting out there and what our needs will be so we can really plan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we're ready to move on the oral amendment. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion is adopted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Last testifier I have is Tom Diamond, DFL Veterans Caucus.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Chair.
Please identify yourself for the record and continue with your testimony.
Tom Diamond, DFL Veterans Caucus. I appreciate the kind comments about veterans and providing the services for the veterans in this state. And I'd like to speak on behalf of the $10 million recommendation for additional funding for the VA, or for the Department of Veterans Affairs. In discussions I've had with the commissioner, this funding is really needed to ensure that we retain current level of services. If we do not get this additional funding, maintaining current level services is not likely to happen. There have to be cutbacks. This is of great concern. I will just mention a couple of things since time's short, but if you don't know, veteran service officers, for example, for disabled veterans to be able to get into the veteran system, you've heard about some of the challenges within the veteran service providing care and benefits of the service. But one of the things that many people are not aware of is that to get into the system, kind of the gatekeeper, so to speak, but is the veteran service officers that the state is helping provide. It's a complicated process to get veterans benefits and care, and they are the ones who provide the guidance and help and assistance that is vital, critical for our veterans to get the kind of care and the services that they need. So that's very important. Another one of the things that I mentioned is, as far as employment, the legislature has been kind to provide veterans preference for veterans. But the important thing is for it to actually be implemented. And I'll give you an example where in the recent year that the Department of Veterans Affairs really played an important role in this. The city of St. Paul's employment services, human services, decided that they could make their own policies that trumped state law as far as veterans' preference and could deny veterans' preference to veterans who were applying for jobs and promotions. Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs stepped in, explained the regulations, and ensured that they do apply this across the board. It's real-life examples of where this makes a difference to veterans in getting the care and the services and the employment opportunities that they need. Another example of it is where it's very important, funding. There's currently a significant gap in care provisions in the state. For example, there's facilities like Hastings, which can get veterans off the out of homelessness, provide housing, provide care, and move on. We also have facilities like the Minneapolis with the skilled care nursing. The problem is there's a gap in between there. You can be in the one facility and get on your feet, but if your conditions increase where you or decrease your quality of life decreases, they cannot provide for those services at Hastings because they do not have the care necessary for that, or you can't get into the facility. On the other hand, there are tight regulations, and understandably, for the skilled care nursing facilities at the Minneapolis VA. So you have people who either cannot get into the system because they're in this notch or fall out of the system because they can't be provided for in the one and can't get in the other. The Department of Veterans Affairs is looking at trying to close this gap. But if what we're doing is with this budget is rolling back the current care, it is going to be that much more difficult to find an answer for this. I know your time's short, but I just wanted to bring those items up and strongly encourage you to support the additional funding. I would also like to just very briefly, as Senator Cohen brought it up, and I think it's an important thing to remember, is while speaking of Veterans Affairs and how important that is, that in the care, at least the experience that I've found in helping veterans get care, is that oftentimes to figure out how to put the package together, the care they need, it often is not just the department, the federal department or the state Department of Veterans Affairs. It's often other agencies that play an important role. For example, so that they oftentimes what you get together as a package to provide for the care that these veterans need is a blending of various different programs that may make the difference. So it's very important that we have a full and also just I would mention on, briefly, and Senator Sachs also has a bill that it's a small point, but it's an important point in that to help ease the ability of veterans and active duty military personnel to have access to our park system. So these other agencies are all playing a part in how we provide this care for our veterans. And so, anyways, I just wanted to
thank you.
Thank you.
For coming back.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Any further public testimony? Anyone else like to say anything for or against? Senator Saxog, do you have a motion?
I do, Mr. Chair. I move that Senate File 888 as amended be recommended to pass, that staff be allowed to make any technical and conforming changes to the bill to match a spreadsheet and it be sent to the full Finance Committee.
Any discussion on that motion? Senator Saxog moves. Senate File SF 888. As amended, be recommended to pass, and that staff be allowed to make any technical and conforming changes to the bill to match the spreadsheet, and it be sent to the full Finance. Any questions on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion
passes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
With that, the committee is adjourned.
Okay. Actually, both of you are one of the kind. Thank you.